Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We have a test of our credibility, Sean. For people who don't know, I've kind of shadow banned Texans offensive player sound from this show until they score three touchdowns in a game. Three offensive touchdowns that can't be helped by special teams, even if an offensive player scores it. For example, Jalen Noel returns a punt for a touchdown. That doesn't count. They need to score three touchdowns. But I've also said that I don't want to hear Texans players on offense talk unless they're big up in the defense. So we have sound from C.J. Stroud talking about Jalen Petrie. So now there's a bit of a conflict. I don't want Texans offensive players on the show, but he's talking about how great his defensive teammate is. So what's the ruling here? I get something I want, but it also goes against what I've set forth. You seem to be someone who can cut through the nonsense sometimes or participate in it, depending on what it is. What do you think? It is C.J. Stroud giving a lot of praise to Jalen Petrie, but it's also C.J. Stroud talking without three touchdowns at his back. And it's our first test.
I also looked at the clip. It's 56 seconds long.
So it's a lot of big
doesn't help his case. I would be okay with 30.
But it's a lot of praise to his teammate, though.
Okay.
So what do you think? Do we stick with score your three touchdowns, or do we allow him to praise? He can't talk. We're not going to play him talking about chemistry with his receivers. We're not doing that. That flies in the face of what we don't want here.
Yeah, I can do the 56 seconds of Petrie love from CJ.
But let's start with DeMeco Ryans, and maybe that's enough Petrie love, and then we'll see how you feel. So let's start with this. The Texans available to the media. Hottest team in football right now. Everyone's talking about them as the team you don't want to play. We continue to see that clip after clip after clip. It's like everyone sent the memo out, particularly at ESPN, and that's all that's going to be the headline. You don't want to see the Texans because of their defense. I think NFL Network has adopted it too. Well, let's talk about one of the stars of that defense who also had to come back from a concussion, Jalen Petrie. When we saw his impact on the game Sunday, he made the great pick, and then he nearly – well, maybe he adversely affected the way Rashee Rice was going to play the rest of the way, at least in that game, with that big hit on him in the third quarter. So here's DeMeco Ryans on who Jalen Petrie is.
Jalen, that's, I call him the X factor for our defense. Like he can do it all. Right? When it comes to stopping the run, most of the time you worry about, you know, a nickel or a DB being in the run fits, but we try to find ways to get Jalen in the run fits because he's a physical player, because he's smart. He understands run fits. Then throw him in passing coverage situations. He's able to cover receivers, tight ends. He's just all-around player, right, that you can't coach him on some of the instincts and things that he's able to do and some of the plays that he's able to make.
Is that enough? Have you heard enough Petrie praise, or do you want to hear from the quarterback?
I mean, I imagine it'll be similar stuff, but that, you know what? Let's give Jalen Petrie his most. This is more about Jalen Petrie than it is about C.J. Stroud or even myself.
Yeah.
You know, this is Petrie's moment.
Let's acknowledge a great defender and his great play, and let's hear from the quarterback. Big up in his safety.
He's a dog, you know, and he always talks about, you know, being a savage, and that's exactly what, you know, he lives, you know, eats and breathes. I think, you know, just the tenacity he plays with, the effort, the knowledge that he has, the instincts that he plays with is second to none. And I always tell him, like, man, the way you fly around, you know, as a quarterback, it's not always easy to depict, you know, how to throw a pass or, like, you know, get it around him when he's jumping 40 inches off the ground, you know, just to bat a ball down or playing in the back end, you know. So he's very versatile. So I think, you know, but I think everything goes back to him just being a savage and wanting to run fast, hit hard, and tackle. And I think he does a great job of it. And, you know, I'm always excited to see my brother play well. And he was one of the first people I met, you know, in this facility. So, you know, I'm just really happy for him. And, you know, he's big money Petrie. So, you know, he's, you know, getting his money worth this week. And I think he'll continue to do it.
I believe the Texans are getting their money's worth. I believe that's probably the way to say it. We heard two dogs, or was it two savages? I forgot. We had a dog.
There's a lot of dogs and a lot of savages. There's one like back-to-back where it's like, he's a dog.
At the very start of a clip, he called him that.
Yeah.
I think we made the good decision. We made a good decision playing that.
Yeah.
Well worth it. But if we start to get clips of him talking about how great his receivers are, prove it on the field.
Yeah.
Beyond Nico Collins, obviously. Mina Kimes did compliment Nico Collins and Jaden Higgins, so that was sound we had yesterday. We may get to that. So it's Texans versus Cardinals. There's not a lot to say about the Cardinals team. They're bad. The only thing of note is that Jacoby Brissett plays really well. Let me take that back. I won't say he plays really well against the Texans. He just happens to beat the Texans. That's his thing. 5 out of his 20 wins in his career. Or is it 6? I forgot exactly the number. Whatever it is, it's an inordinate amount of his wins over the course of his career have come against the Texans. Let's hope that him in a Cardinal uniform changes the math there. You're 8-5. You won 5 in a row. It'd be a real come down. All that talk of you don't want to face this team and they lose to the Cardinals, it's gonna make a lot of people look dumb. And when people are made to look dumb, particularly nationally, they get to quickly changing their tune on the team that made them look dumb. They can't say anything about the defense. We would imagine if the unthinkable happens and they lose on Sundays because of the offense and all that stuff about, hey, this offense, you know, pretty good enough to make a Super Bowl run, that Dan Orlovsky said, I think he would revert back to something else if this offense can't put up enough points to beat the lowly Cardinals. Look, Matt Stafford lit their ass up. I don't expect that type of performance. I mean, it is a team who lost to the Titans at home. So, can we get to 24? Can we get our mandate of 3 touchdowns?
I mean, maybe.
Very strong in your opinion.
Like, honestly, 3 touchdowns. 3 touchdowns, so many.
In fact, it's not so many.
3 touchdowns, 1 field goal, too. It's like, no, there's going to be a couple more that fizzle out if they're moving the ball.
Of course, that's who they are, yeah.
Yeah, like, I can see, like 23, where it's like 2 field goals, 2 touchdowns.
Oh, man.
Like, I can't see, because that means they're either hitting explosives, which, not really their bag.
It's not their thing.
Or they're executing in the red zone.
Not their thing.
Also not their back. So I think they'll win.
I do think they'll win.
I think they can win it, you know, 17-9. Like that's possible.
It is a score that's not unrealistic. It's just not something I want to sit through.
No. God, no.
That is 17-9, it'll likely be something where you're never really fearful that the Cardinals are going to win this game because the defense will set a tone. But if it's 17-9, it means this offense is struggling and scuffling. Procedural penalties, false starts, holdings. It'll be all of that. It'll be short-circuiting short fields that the defense gave them. 17-9.
Maybe I'm not giving the Cardinals enough credit.
For being bad?
For being bad, yeah. And, like, we really have only seen the Texans play against, like, decent teams or the Titans.
Yeah.
Especially the last little while.
Yeah, what's the has there been an equivalent team they played this year? Like
other than the Titans?
Yeah, the Ravens were awful. They're Titans bad at the start, at least when they played them. Cooper Rush, defense was playing terrible. They're injured. So this doesn't count.
Yeah, just going backwards, Chiefs, Colts, Bills, Titans, Jags, Broncos.
The Titans have a couple wins.
Yeah.
And to be fair,
they really haven't played a bad team besides the Titans.
And the Cardinals are the next bad team.
Yeah.
And it's not like they were kicking the Titans' ass. Except for the one fourth quarter.
No. But, hey, listen. It's a divisional game. Got to throw out the records. Sure. This is not a divisional game.
So they should play better because it's not a divisional game.
Yeah, because
less familiarity means they'll play better.
Yeah. Jonathan Gannon's like, who are these guys?
Never heard of them. Texans. I didn't know they had a football team anymore in Houston.
Not the Oilers.
So the Cardinals are coming to town. They're bad. We probably won't have to worry about a Cardinal fan takeover. It seems like one of the teams who won't have a large presence in the building.
It helps.
Now the question for me is at 8-5, and we know even in times where the team was playing well, crowds late arriving or sometimes not arriving at all. Will we get one of those games where, you're 8-5, but there's nothing appealing about this matchup, so we're just going to stay home? Can we get an excited crowd? You've beaten the Bills, the Colts, and the Chiefs. You haven't been home in, 3 weeks now?
Since the Bills game?
Yeah, and that was a Thursday night game. So Sunday, back on schedule, at home, do we get a good crowd? Do we get a crowd that's there from the jump?
No.
I don't know. It's a question I'm asking, but I have an answer already. I think
that it's a bad team hurts them.
That's true.
I think the fact that it is, the Cardinals doesn't get the people going.
Yeah, we will find out because the last time we saw them at home, the Bills and their traveling fan base, so it's hard to judge, although you would always ask not to sell tickets to the opponent, but it always happens. So we are quite comfortable acknowledging that. But since that point, You win that one, and then you win your next two, and you're firmly in the playoff race. Has that changed the tide? Will people now get excited beyond, the Twitter content creator people? Will the actual fans who go to the games all the time, show up?
That's the thing. I feel like it's two different questions. I feel like it's, will the people be excited? Yeah, probably. People are excited.
But will they show up?
The city is ready to wrap their arms around this team. Will they show up when what's it called? When leather meets ball or whatever it is?
Toe meets leather.
Toe meets leather. Mm-hmm. Come on. That's asking a lot.
It's Houston, not really.
We've liked a lot of teams in our past. Showing up at noon is it's tough.
Well, a lot of
especially cities, for a three win.
A lot of cities do it. They show up at noon. It's kind of
not as cool as our city.
Actually, I'll take it back. The East Coast, they show up at 1. I'll take it back.
Yeah, they get an extra hour.
It's not everybody who shows up at noon. The Texans are Central Time Zone, so they have to. At least the fans do. I'm interested to see beyond the cynical nature of this show and all our laughing at things that other people may not laugh at. Will people get excited?
I think they are excited.
But not enough to show up to the game?
No, not enough.
Then how excited are they?
Excited.
Just not pay my hard-earned money excited?
It's just not in the DNA of the fan base. It really isn't. Look at the Astros. Look at the Rockets. Look at the Tech. It's not what we do. It's not what we do here.
I'm going to do something I don't like to do.
Challenge?
No, I'm not challenging anyone.
Oh, okay.
I'm not in a position to say, hey, go support the team. If you don't want to go, you don't want to go. Who am I to say you should go?
It's something you don't normally do.
That's true. I've never done it, actually.
Yeah, so I was like,
No, what I will do is anyone who's going to the game, let me know. either on Twitter, you can call in 713-780-3776. And then we can judge your level of excitement. Whether did this recent run of success make you think I need to be there on Sunday? Or you're like, you know what? I watch from home. A win at home or a win in the building for me is the same.
Yeah,
I am interested to see. There will be people there, but will it be?
Can't mess up a good thing. I haven't been going all year. Can't show up and throw things off. Can't jinx them.
That only applies because of the last 4 weeks. I mean, they weren't great when you weren't going before too. So we'll see. We'll see if the people in the building match the excitement actually nationally about the team. Everyone's excited about the Texans.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think Dan Orlovsky is going to be showing up how excited he is about the team.
Mina Kimes probably won't be there for Cardinals.
Probably busy.
Texans, yeah, probably working for ESPN. I wonder how many people will be there. Excited to watch their team try to win their sixth game in a row. If you want to call in and let me know, 713-780-3776, or you can call in and tell me you don't believe. That could be a part of it. You don't think this offense is good enough, despite how good this defense is, to really be a contender, despite what the pundits may say. We'll hear from you if you so choose. We'll also get into some Astro stuff because Chandler Rome is having a ball. He's appearing on MLB Network. And, Sean, ponder this. The Astros are very relevant. Chandler Rome works for a big outlet, so he's going to be called upon to talk about the team. If you think about all of baseball, which beat reporter / athletic writer for a team is the least likely to get called on? Not the name, because I don't expect you to know who the Pirates beat writer is. But think about all the teams of baseball, winter meetings. Who's the guy or woman who's never getting called by MLB Network because no one cares about the team? Chandler Rome is not in that category. The team he covers has won World Series recently, always competitive, but there got to be people who are covering teams who never get the call up to MLB Network unless some scandal happens. And speaking of scandal, shout out to Ann Arbor. What an afternoon.
Didn't we talk about the Cheez-It Bowl, how it's going to be like, hey, two teams.
The cheese, yeah.
Trying to build off
this
year. Yeah,
we talked about the Texas-Michigan game as a Cheez-It Citrus Bowl and a game where two teams are going to keep most of their rosters intact as far as guys not opting out. The two quarterbacks will be there. It's a chance to set the stage for what could be a big 2026.
Yeah. And then 4 hours later.
Yeah, look at us.
What?
We're harbingers of doom, apparently. So we'll talk about that at some point. Dave, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else? 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
Let's get to Dave here. He held to the break. We appreciate it. He is a Texans season ticket holder, and it looks like he's going to the game. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Del, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I just, you know, I was listening to what you were saying about it, but I tell you, I'm certainly going to the game, but I think a lot of it has more to do with the opponent. I literally couldn't find anybody to go with me this weekend. So I've got a guy that works for me and a couple of his buddies, you know, that's so, and we've got about a 10 to 15 person tailgate. We've got a few people missing it, but I think it all comes down more to people are busy with the holidays right now and the opponent. So that's why it was a little bit more difficult. And I think you can also rate these things by, you know, how cheap ticket prices are on the resale market. But people are excited about the team, in my opinion, but I think it's this game here that nobody's really too excited about.
Got it. I know. It feels like a foregone conclusion that they're winning this game and the Cardinals don't have any real appeal. They're running a backup quarterback in here, and that's about it. Trey McBride's a good player, but, yeah, it's the Cardinals. They're one of the more anonymous franchises in the league, particularly if Kyler Murray's not even going to be available.
I think that's a big part of it, too, is that it's like they're not even like a fun bad team. Yeah. They're just kind of a bad team that doesn't have their starting quarterback and is one of the more anonymous in the NFL, you know? Like, yeah. The NFL doesn't have, like, straight-up anonymous teams like the NBA or MLB do, where they're just like,
Who are these
Charlotte
guys?
Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Because of fantasy football and red zone, you are going to know some Cardinals just by chance if you're looking at red zone.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
Like if it was the Bengals who have
they're bad.
Basically the same record.
But you would know. They've had
people would
success.
Be more excited. At least. Like there would be that people that want to go.
Town, Joe Burrow's in town. Despite his love of Pokemon, he would play quarterback on Sunday. And people would be excited about that offense, at least, against the Texans defense and how it would go.
Jacoby Brissett. I mean,
it's not.
I don't want to see him beat the Texans again.
No. People are afraid
about
to show
that guy.
Up. Yeah, Dave, I would. Yeah, a lot of factors. But my other, I guess, thought would be, would that matter to a Bills fan if the Cardinals are coming to town? Would it matter to more Bills fans than it matters to the Texas fans, apparently?
Probably less.
Yeah.
Probably less.
So there is part of that, but different cities respond differently. And it's not me here judging the city and their fandom. I was just interested to see. Are people excited to go? And Dave says they are. He's got a better feel for the Pulse than I do. I don't go out to the games, and he's out there consistently.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good crowd. Like, once the game starts and they're into it, but like around the city, I don't think on Sunday it's not gonna have a big game feel. It's not gonna have like a anticipation. It's just gonna be like, all right, let's win another one. Let's go wreck these guys. Yeah, and get it over with.
Let's get to 9-5 and not have to worry about it by 2:30 and let the string play out until 3:05.
That's what I want. I want this game to not be in the balance.
You know what I'm not looking for?
By like 2:00.
I don't even know who's calling the game. I'll look at that at some point. I don't need that play-by-play person going, man, we haven't called Will Anderson's name much. Like, I don't want a scenario where there's some bewilderment by the voices on the game talking about, man, the Texans just can't get the Cardinals and put them away.
Nico Collins, awfully quiet tonight.
Yeah.
Have to hand it off to Will Johnson.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, I don't want any Cardinals getting credit.
Yeah.
This is what
and
I'm
Michael hoping. Wilson.
Again.
Yeah, no, we can't have that.
Yeah. Whoever, the Texans are hosting the Cardinals, so that would make it a Fox game. But that's generally the rule.
Yeah.
Road when it's two teams from different conferences.
But we've lost our way.
Yeah, things just kind of swap.
It is still Fox.
Okay, it is a Fox game. So yeah. I don't know. I don't really. Is Chris Myers calling the game?
God. The Texans had to have won enough to.
But the Cardinals are such dregs.
See, this is a thing that they never do that to the Cowboys. Cowboys can play anybody.
Yeah,
they're not
matter.
Getting. Yeah, they're not getting Chris Myers.
Yeah, yeah, we'll figure it out. Eric wants to talk about Tom Herman for whatever reason. We'll get to that when we come back. I really don't know. I mean, this actually befuddles me. What does he want to speak about Tom? Why does he want to speak about Tom
Herman? How is he in the news at all?
Is he going to suggest him for Michigan? Is that what he's going to do?
No, he might not suggest him. He might have heard rumblings.
Forgot about that. He does hear rumblings. When we come back, we'll let you know who will be on the call, because that might be the best part of the game. Hopefully it's a Texans blowout and we can find out who's calling the game and who's gonna have to work for 3 hours and 10 minutes and try to make it exciting. I don't need it to be exciting, but I know they have a job to do. Eric, we'll get to you when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
So we do have confirmation. It was just a guess on my part, but it is Chris Myers. Chris Myers will be the voice you hear for Cardinals and Texans. He'll be joined by Mark Schlereff. So the offensive lineman better be ready. You display any bad technique, Trent Brown, you won't hear, but we will. We'll hear Mark Schlereff criticize you. He doesn't do the Baldinger thing where he puts clips online, but
no.
But he does focus on bad O-line play. Yeah. Was he calling? Was the Texans Titans game a Fox game? Because wasn't he calling that game?
Yes, I remember Chris Myers because I was like, this is the least enjoyable football experience.
And he got after Trent Brown that day,
yeah,
for bad foot placement. Well, I hope Trent learned his lesson. Slayer's on the call again.
With college football over, Jason Benetti and Robert Griffin III are doing NFL games.
Okay.
For Fox. I'd prefer them.
Really?
I prefer Adam Amin and Drew Brees.
I mean, I prefer Benetti. Can they split that team up?
Benetti and Stink?
Well, whatever. just not RG3 with Benetti. All right, let's get to Eric here. He wants to talk about Tom Herman for some reason. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I heard rumblings that Tom Brady's interested in the Michigan coaching job. Also, why does Tom Herman want to fight everybody? Did you see that supposedly good handshake at the end of that game? And what time would the Texans playoff game be on Saturday morning? At 10 a.m. on FS2? I'll hang up and listen.
Pretty rich from a Cowboy fan talking about times. Yes, this city acknowledges that Saturdays at 3:30, not 10 a.m. Yeah. on NBC or ESPN or CBS, whoever's having the Saturday afternoon game.
Nickelodeon.
Yeah, whatever it might be. We understand that's our spot, but it also means we're hosting home playoff games.
Yeah.
And you know it's their spot because they're always in the playoffs. And are you making the playoffs in a down division, sir? And it's less about me. I don't care that much about Cowboy fans or hating the Cowboys. This is more about Eric and his nonsense.
Yeah. Come
on. What are you doing? You can't pull that when your team is fighting for their lives.
The Cowboys and Lions play on Thanksgiving, same time every year. Texans play wild card round.
Yeah, it's our spot.
It's tradition.
Yeah. And they win that game most of the time.
A lot of time.
Unlike the Cowboys winning playoff games, which is few and far between. As far as Tom Herman, he is referencing a handshake from like two seasons ago now.
I was going to say, he hasn't been a coach in a while.
Yeah, how long ago did he lose the FAU job?
It might have just been last year.
Because it was him shaking Alex Golish's hand.
Yeah.
The USF coach. I did not know that FAU and USF had a rivalry. I know they'll play each other from time to time. I thought it was UCF and USF, not FAU and USF.
2024.
So USF is kicking FAU's ass. They come to meet each other at the midfield, and Tom Herman's going for the traditional, hey, good luck, rest of the season, so on and so forth, and Alex Golish gives him kind of the dead fish. He does the flyby, doesn't stop, just shakes his hand and keeps walking, doesn't even pause, and Tom Herman would not have it, would not walk him down and go, hey, and Golish like, yeah, I got you, man. Golish did not want to acknowledge Tom Herman, and now look at Alex Golish at Auburn. Although Arkansas thought they got him, but he decided to go to Auburn instead. And where's Tom Herman now? Doing interviews with John and Lance in the middle of the football season. Who won that battle? Tom Herman's going to be fine, everybody.
He'll be completely fine.
And I did not hear that Tom Brady is looking to be the Michigan head coach.
I can't imagine Tom Brady being a college football coach.
I can imagine Tom Brady maybe wanting some input since he now does that, since he's in league with the Raiders ownership. But coaching?
He wants to, like, do the transfer portal?
Look.
He wants to recruit?
I need to pause both of us because we cannot address Eric's nonsense seriously. Let's not actually get into a conversation about whether Tom Brady would want to do it. Just that we have not heard that, it's very unlikely, and we can move on. Because we were going down a path where we're actually going to get into, hey, the virtues of Tom Brady as a head coach in Michigan. It's not happening.
He'd run a great offense.
We sure about that? You know what the thing would be? Great players make terrible coaches. Because they always think someone should be able to do it as well as they can. That would be something that's floated out there if Tom Brady started rubbing people the wrong way.
So if I'm Michigan, I'm not looking for Tom Brady, Charles Woodson, no thank you.
What's Desmond Howard up to? Well, we know, but let's not let him stay on game day.
Yeah, and alluding to a head coach opening.
That Sark had to push back on.
Yeah.
And apparently.
And now
look at it.
Should have paid attention in your own backyard.
Now look what happened. Yes. Look at that.
Should have shot Sharon a text.
Now look at Desmond Howard. He was forecasting doom for the Sark-Texas relationship, and something was going on in his own backyard. If you missed it, Sharon Moore has been fired by the University of Michigan for an inappropriate relationship with a staffer. Some context to it, Sharon Moore is married, but that is not simply the reason he was fired. I don't think adultery is the reason he's fired. It's who the adultery was with. Someone on his staff, there's reporting involving a pregnancy that turns into an abortion. It's all sorted. And then it went from, oh, Michigan made a decision. Oh, that's why. And then we have Sharon Moore in custody for something that went from, oh, this is scandalous and for some people a little funny, to there's an assault. They're apparently, according to reporting, a potential threat on his own life. Either way, he is currently in custody, being detained, and we will see where it goes from there. But what we do know is Sharon Moore out as a Michigan head coach. They've announced their interim coach, guy who's already on the staff. Hell, Michigan's had so many head coaches suspended, and so they know how this can be handled. Sharon Moore himself filled in for Jim Harbaugh when he was suspended. Sharon Moore was also suspended as a head coach, so someone had to fill in for him. So Michigan has experience dealing with this portion, but now they have to go find themselves a new head coach. I don't know if they'll do what Stanford did and go like the Frank Reich thing when they made him the interim for a year before they hired a head coach, or will they actually want to start anew right now? It's a little tight. Timing's bad for them.
Yeah. If Poggi has experience.
He does. He's already filled in, as I mentioned, for Sharon Moore Sharon Moore had to be suspended by the NCAA. Do they do the interim tag for a year, or do they go, hey, Kalen DeBoer, you want to get out of here?
Hey, they're really get out- mad at you. In
yeah, you want to get out of Alabama?
They're really mad.
Hey, man, we'll hire you even if you do lose Oklahoma for a third time in two seasons. That's what we're on. You want to get back to what you might call a normal environment? Come on in.
By the way, Michigan and Oklahoma have a home and home scheduled.
Well, they play each
year,
other
this year, and then they play next year.
Yeah, so he can't. He wouldn't be able to get away from. Oh, can you imagine him losing four times in three seasons at two different schools?
It's easier to imagine him losing with Michigan than it is with Alabama.
It's true.
He's already done that twice.
He might do it a third time.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So that's where we are. All the movement for major college
programs, I know.
Like premier jobs that have come open.
And it felt like it was kind of like, okay, it's done. Like
once the Matt Campbell news happened, we didn't even talk about it. Penn State hired Matt Campbell. Once that news.
Matt Campbell should have waited another week.
People thought he was waiting on that Michigan job, and Harbaugh would just never leave. And now he finally made the leap, and he's now at Penn State. And
life's crazy.
And the bigger job was going to come open. Who would have known?
He should have just known.
And by the way,
Sharon Moore was going to.
Matt Campbell, you were their second choice. They want a Sataki.
At least second choice.
It's true. Maybe that's me assuming Sataki was their first, and that feels unlikely as well. I don't think Penn State's first thought once they fired James Franklin was to go get the BYU coach. Yeah.
I don't think Matt Rhule got an extension just on the strength of his record.
Certainly not against the top 25. So there it is. We've got movement for teams not in the playoffs. We've talked about it. 7 out of the 12 teams who are in the playoff will either be losing a coordinator or a head coach, and A&M has lost both coordinators. Now, there's some thought that there might be a mutual parting of the ways. Jay Bateman's now the DC at Kentucky. I think he may just be leaving. I don't know if he'll stay for the playoff. They have a guy with a non-official title who they may just promote to the DC. I think he was like associate head coach of defense or something like that. I forgot his official title. So they may just make that guy to DC. I haven't seen anywhere if Bateman's going to stay or not. Guys usually do stay unless the coach wanted him gone. But right now, A&M, as it stands now, Colin Klein's the new head coach at Kansas State, and their DC is going to be going. So Mike Elko, no matter how this playoff run turns out, going to be making big hires to try to continue what A&M has put together over the first two seasons of his tenure there. All right, we'll go to break with that. We didn't get to any of the Chandler Rome stuff. We'll do that when we come back. He was on MLB Network, and I have figured out the man who's least likely to get a call up to MLB Network. And it's not because of his work. It's just because of the team he covers. Chandler Rome doesn't have that problem. We'll hear from him when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to some Astros stuff. They continue to try to sort out their infield. And let's hear from Chandler Rome on that. He also spoke about Yordan. We'll make it to that before we close out the segment. But as was discussed yesterday on the show, a move needs to be made because they're short in the rotation and they have too many bodies of guys who you would want to play. The guy that they would like to trade is Christian Walker. We talked about it yesterday that there's minimal interest, partly because of his age and the down year he had despite leading the team in home runs. So here's Chandler Rome on MLB Network on the glut of infielders the Astros currently have.
The biggest guy for me in this whole thing is Yordan Alvarez. They're a different club when he's not in that lineup.
That's a different clip. I think I saved it on the other computer. We'll get to the Yordan thing maybe at some point. But yeah, Yordan plays a part because he can't. At least they don't want him in the outfield, which removes some of the options for the Astros. They want him to play DH. So they have to deal with that. But the infield, Paredes, Walker, Correa, Altuve, Peña. A lot of guys who can play. Who's gonna go? And can they make a move to improve their roster in another spot by trading one of these excess infielders? This is Chandler Rome on that.
This has been the question I've been trying to answer since they acquired Carlos Correa at the trade deadline last year. Playing him at third base means Isak Paredes doesn't have a position. And Joe Espada was on this set on Monday and said he wants Jose Altuve to spend most of his time this season at second base.
Right.
So you've got Correa at third, Peña at short, Altuve at second. You've got Christian Walker and Isak Paredes for one position. And with Yordan Alvarez entrenched as the DH, I'm just not sure there's enough at-bats to go around for both Isak Paredes and Christian Walker, which makes me think one of them could be on the move.
So he tells us, and he's just reminding us what Joe Espada said, they want Altuve at second. Remember all the justification for him playing left was his defensive woes are less of a problem out there than they would be at second. What happened with that? When people, you know, let's say the basic bitch baseball fan, which is what the analytics people would take issue with, when they would say, "Why are you moving him away from second? He plays second. He's Jose Altuve. Leave him at second." Then it would be, well, actually, he's not great defensively. Put him out in left. He's less of a problem out there. The Astros in some ways agreed with that. And now we're a year later. Throw him back at second. That's where he should play. What happened? Why did that line of thinking change? He wasn't atrocious. Like, he had his moments early in left. He wasn't atrocious. Why did they waste a year? When you know, it's not a great solve because who wants him out there? He's not a good defensive player. But it would actually clear up some things if you just threw him out in left. And yeah, you would have space for all these other guys. But that's not what they want to do.
This is the year where it makes the most sense to
do it. You've brought back Correa. Now it's time to find a spot for Altuve because you want him in the lineup and you want the other guys too. But no, one of these guys has to go. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Do whatever you need. I do think because we never get so passionate about these discussions, and we certainly don't want to do the work. It would be funny just to go through all the tweets of people defending the move to left. Hey, he's bad at defense.
Yeah.
Throw him out there.
Be bad over there.
Yeah, be bad over there where it's less costly. Backing the Astros on the move, and maybe you're right to do it if you look at the numbers.
Yeah. I understood it. I was just like, yeah. And again, they had ground ball pitchers. Yeah, get him out there.
But
get
now,
him out of the ground ball zone.
But now.
Now it's like, what are we doing?
Put him at second and stay there.
Well, no, I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, Now it's all stupid.
What a waste of a discussion piece for people.
That was like a month of discussion.
Like when he made a play, can't look how bad he is. Then when he botched a play, the other side would bounce back. You just watch it go back and forth.
People watch spring training games for this.
Yeah, it was part of the thing. We actually, because this is a dumb show, we jokingly discussed it. Altuve's out left. How's it going to go?
On TV, on a broadcasted game.
We were talking about, hey, let's make sure the game they do broadcast here, because they didn't do a lot of them, make sure it's one where Altuve's out and left. And he had his issues early, and then it was pretty much fine the rest of the way. But the Astros said, hey, I'm glad you guys got that out of your system. He's back at second. Now what? And we're still looking for pitchers.
Yeah. I don't know what. And outfielders. That's and true. You're trading an outfielder.
They're looking to use one of the outfielders you would think would be, despite our preconceived notions of him and Jake Myers, a guy you could, when he's healthy, throw on out there. And at least last year, he was productive, and that has led to his value being raised, and they're trying to use him to acquire a team-controlled pitcher. Okay, that's fine. Just do whatever you got to do, Astros.
At this point, do whatever.
Yeah, and when you do something, we'll actually have something to talk about. Wasting a year with this Altuve nonsense. And
it's just crazy. We're just right back at it.
Yeah, yeah. When, as you pointed out rather astutely, now would be the year to throw him out there.
It would make more sense.
You got
now.
Too many. You got Yordan, who you don't want to play in left, and you got too many infielders. But okay, whatever. Do what you got.
Like
do what you want. Just make sure it goes well. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, 47 games in left field for Altuve last year. What a 47 it was.
Okay.
Thank God. We probably had 47 segments talking about it.
People being furious or saying, you know, it's not such a bad idea. And the Astros have decided.
And then, like, after game, like, I don't know, 15 of him in the outfield, we just stopped talking.
We stopped caring.
Just didn't matter.
It really didn't matter anymore. We had bigger concerns. Guys are losing their arms while that was going on.
Yeah.
Let's get to the other guy who we gave you a trailer before the trailer thing when we played the Yordan sound. So here is Chandler Rome on Yordan and the plan for him.
The biggest guy for me in this whole thing is Yordan Alvarez. They're a different club when he's not in that lineup because he's one of the best hitters in the game. How's he feeling? What's their plan for him in 2026?
He's a full go for spring training. He'll be ready to go. And Joe Espada made no bones about it. He wants him to spend most of next season at DH.
Wow.
He wants him to DH most of the time because they need to keep him healthy. Yeah. They need to keep his bat in the lineup. Since he debuted in 2019, only Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani have a higher slugging percentage than Yordan Alvarez.
Wow.
So that is the kind of thump they missed so badly last year. He appeared in 48 games last season.
Wow.
If he appears in maybe just 60 games, they end up in the playoffs. It was that big of a loss.
You know, it's interesting you're talking about the glut of infielders. So do you envision the Astros may be making a trade to get some starting pitching back?
I think they could use Isak Paredes in a trade to get some of that young starting pitching back. There are teams that are very interested in Jake Myers, their center fielder off of a breakout season. Ton of teams interested in him. He could help them get pitching back. But a lot of what they do this offseason, most of what they do this offseason, is going to come via trade.
I love the act of listening by the guys on the panel. Whoa. Wow.
Whoa. Whoa. Third?
Yeah.
Behind Judge and Ohtani? Whoa.
Yeah. Oh.
It's like, yeah.
There it is.
It's not shocking, guys.
Well.
Whoa. You mean Yordan Alvarez.
Whoa. A lot of grunting going on as they listen to Chandler Rome. So, Chandler Rome on MLB Network.
Yeah. MLB Network staple during the winter meetings. Yeah,
definitely. He is covering one of the highest profile teams of baseball. A guy who isn't. I've decided, is anyone covering the Rockies? But this gentleman in particular, because I actually did a little research and put his name in with MLB Network and didn't find anything. I did find a segment on Foul Territory, which is more of an kind of a podcast-ish internet thing. But I didn't find him on the NFL Network. The name is Patrick Saunders. He writes for the Denver Post. He covers the Rockies. He, for me, is a guy who's least likely to appear on MLB Network, not because of his ability to do his job, it's because the Rockies are the Rockies.
There's not a segment that they have on MLB MLB Network where they're like, now we need to talk for 10 minutes. We're going to talk about the Rockies coming up here. What holes do the Rockies have on their roster? I forgot what your name was already.
Patrick Saunders.
Patrick. Oh, well, you know, like use some infielders, some outfielders, some starters, some relievers.
Yeah, everything. Everything, Patrick. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying.
So are they going to spend a lot of money? Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, they've lost 100 games the last couple seasons. And just think, when the Astros were in the midst of that, I don't remember who was covering the team at that point as far as, let's say,
I mean, McTaggart.
McTaggart, certainly. Richard Justice also was still covering the team. Allison Footer, I imagine, was still there covering the team. They weren't making a lot of appearances on national stages to talk Astros. Patrick Saunders is in that vortex right now as a guy covering the Rockies who I don't keep track of them, but I've gone through the last three seasons. They've lost 100 games each season. And then in 2022, they lost 94. So, you're not making a lot of appearances talking about that team.
No.
It'd be like ESPN.com wanting, or excuse me, the NBA show on ESPN, whatever it's called now, asking to talk to the Wizards guy or a woman. That's what it is. No one's looking for that.
Yeah, there's really, it's not that many. Like, I guess the Nationals guy. I can't imagine his phone's ringing off the hook.
Not at the moment, no.
Yeah.
I'm sure Patrick Saunders is fine.
Because, like, the Angels will, like, sign a guy.
They'll
like,
sign guys.
Bad, but they'll sign
a guy. And they got Mike Trout. Maybe someone wants to talk about Mike
Trout.
They'll
make a move.
Yeah, they'll do stuff like that. But the Rockies, maybe you want to talk about the failure of Chris Bryant, but...
Yeah, what's his deal? Patrick? We should get Patrick on.
You just want a Rockies correspondent.
Just... And then we can commiserate for a little while.
You know, when I did and of course we got to go to break. When I was producing for on the weekends here a long time ago, I would, and people still, of course, everyone does this. You kind of have to explain to the person you're trying to book why you want them on.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we want to talk about this.
XYZ.
Like,
yeah.
You fake like you've read their article just to let them know, hey, there's a person who actually knows what you do. The justification for having Patrick Saunders on this show, hey, this is a dumbass show. You want to come on?
We want to talk about the Rockies.
We do dumb things. You want to come on?
What it's like to cover a team like the Rockies.
Yeah. Would you want to do that? You want just a segment on Houston Radio talking about the Rockies and what it's like?
We're fascinated by how little interviews you do.
Yeah.
We can't imagine you do that many.
And while you are dedicated to your job, what's it like going to the ballpark every day knowing it's you and like four other people who care about this team?
What's it like going to the winter meetings knowing that no one's going to stop to talk to you?
He doesn't go to the winter meetings. Does he? Does he? He can't, maybe. Right? Is the Denver Post paying for that in Orlando? Did they pay to send him to Orlando?
I don't know. I just like to imagine him at the winter meetings. Just kind of like, all right, got to look busy. Got to look busy.
Trying to catch Adnan Virk's eye. Hey, you want to bring me on?
Yeah, that's what he has to do. He has to like, you know, talk to other people that aren't like Rockies related.
He's got to ingratiate himself with Robert Flores and see if Roflo would like him on to talk about whatever. Hey, Roflo, big Cougar fan, love Kelvin Sampson.
Maybe when you change beats, we can hire him.
Now you got to start like we would. I would lie and pretend to the potential guests that I've read his stuff. You talk to Roflo about the Cougs.
Oh yeah,
Kelvin Sampson, huh?
Flemings, huh?
Yeah, one and done, right? Can you believe they keep winning and dropping in the rankings?
It's crazy. It's messed up.
Yeah.
Cougar. No respect.
Tough beating that final game last year. Last year, right?
Yeah.
Should have got that shot off, Emmanuel Sharp.
Yeah. Don't know what he was doing.
He would know more about the Cougs than Robert Flores would at the time, just to get on MLB Network. Got to raise that profile, Patrick Saunders. You've done it here on this show.
Yeah.
We'll go to break with that. 713-780-3776 is the number to join us. We will talk up. Well, at least we'll hear and talk some more Texans as they're getting prepared for the Cardinals, a game they should win. And at this point, it's not even a must win, but we need to keep the momentum going, and beating the Cardinals gets that done. So we'll talk more about them in the second hour. We'll get into something I watched. Netflix had me hooked because Diddy had me hooked. Not on baby oil or GHB, something he apparently combined together allegedly for his freak-offs. I do like that that's now a term in popular culture. People can just say freak-offs and just know we're talking about Diddy. But I watched the four-part documentary yesterday, and it's a lot of things you would already know, like the Tupac stuff, the Biggie stuff. But I realized beyond some of the criminal stuff he was convicted of or alleged to have done, Diddy talks in a way that I would have to – I'm out. I can't talk to this guy the way he talks, and I'll explain that at some point in the second hour. We will be back. But first, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. We're getting close to that time where they're going to be offering deals. In fact, it starts tomorrow. Their Christmas savings starts tomorrow. And what that means is they're going to be offering special deals on specific models every day. But the key to that is you got to be aware of is the deals are going to flip every day. So if you're looking for a vehicle and you hear something you like, you need to head on out there and check out all the inventory at monumentchevrolet.com. See what they have to offer. See the deals that coincide with that. And then make your choice. And you're going to be dealing with great people who aren't going to be pushy. They're going to make sure they go at your pace to get you into the car you love. They're calling it the 12 days of Christmas. And it starts tomorrow. Unbeatable deals, daily specials. They're going to post them on social media and on the website, monumentchevrolet.com. And just pick and choose what you want. And of course, you can visit them in person. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Great vehicles, great cars, and great deals all at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.